You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church podcast. We hope that today's message edifies and encourages you to live transformed by Jesus, grow in your faith, and walk in your God dreams.
Today and next week, I got two really important sermons, but today is all about getting your hopes up. Look to your neighbor and say, get your hopes up. Man, say it with some enthusiasm. Say, get your hopes up, man. Yeah, there you go. Get your hopes up, dude. Hey, look, man, I'm going to be real with you. We live in a time and a place where people say, don't get your hopes up. And today, I want everyone leaving this place feeling encouraged. I want you to feel edified. I want you to leave this place going, man, God's got me. Anyone want to leave like that? Anyone in this place? Jared, you're like Sarah to Abraham. My gosh, thank you. Man, I love coffee. Yeah, I know you know. Yeah, I know. Shut up, all right? Get out of here. I'm addicted. I'll deal with that later. I'm glad that we had that little coffee break. Susie, you got beat, dude. Bring it up anyways. I'll drink it. Come on, bring it up. I'll drink two cups. I'll double fist this joker. No, you good? Okay, all right. Hey, actually, I'm glad we took a minute to pause to get that coffee because there's something I want to tell you. If you are leading a summer group, we have a quick meeting right after church. If you're not leading a summer group, what's up? What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Come on, lead a summer group. We have groups coming up. Next week, we're launching them, and I want you to be a part of them. If you have any ideas that you want to pull, I want you to do it. Look, we do all sorts of stuff. I was doing Modern Warfare Mondays for the longest time. It was just me and John. It was just John and I. No one else even joined us, but it was the best bonding time. So I want you to start up a group if you want. If you're interested, you can show up to the meeting in the youth room right afterwards. But not just that, right after service, we got baptisms, y'all. So I want you guys to hang out in the foyer. We're going to do some baptisms. Yeah. All right, get your hopes up. Let's get back on track. Look to your neighbor and say, get your hopes up. Man, I love that it's the first Sunday of summer. I love that it's like 97 degrees and the humidity outside. I love summer, and I want to start this season off right with you. You and I need to be people who are full of hope. Is anyone sick of not having hope? Anyone sick of not having hope? Feeling down and out? Anyone in here? Okay, a few of you shyly put your hands up. You guys are really defeated people. Yeah, I am. Hey, look, man, I want to get you up and going. So I'm going to say it again. Get your hopes up. I don't know about you, but how many of you guys know God's done some amazing things in your life? Anyone in here have some amazing testimonies? Yeah? I saw some of y'all just staring at me like, no, all right, we're going to change that today, all right? I got some amazing things that God's done in my life. And how many of you guys are in here rejoicing because he's forgiven you? Anyone here happy he's forgiven you? Anyone in here? My gosh, dude, I'm so happy. How many of you guys are so happy that he redeemed you? You were not going to be used, and he's using you. Anyone in here? Yeah? Yeah, a few of you. You guys know you're clapping in the beginning part. Now I'm asking you to clap. You're like, I don't got the energy, man. I get it. It's cooling down. You can feel it, all right? Hey, man, I don't know about you, but how many of you guys are so happy that Jesus is interceding for you? How many of you guys are so happy that he's leading you? How many of you guys are so happy that he's got promises for you? Anyone in here? I do too. But it's easy to forget these things day in and day out. And I'm going to say what I said earlier. The world will tell you over and over, man, that don't get your hopes up. Because how many of you guys have ever been crushed before? How many of you guys have ever put your hopes in something and it didn't come through? Man, I feel that too. There's no way only like 10 of us. Let me ask that again. How many of you guys have ever been hopeful for something and it didn't happen? Man, right? And how many of you guys think it sucked? Can I say that word up here? Yeah, I can. Obviously, I can. Like, you guys are all for it. Man, it's the worst, dude. I hate when I get my hopes up about something and it falls through. Now, how many of you guys remember being single, married people? How many of you guys remember being single? Yeah, anyone in here? Yeah, you guys are still single. How many of you guys are still single? Anyone in here still single? Yeah. Man, okay. This is the easiest one to really hit on because it's true. How many of you guys thought you were going to marry somebody? Anyone in here? And you didn't marry them. Anyone? Yeah. How many of you guys are so thankful you didn't marry them? Yeah. Looking back. But do you remember that? Oh, man, I remember that. At 8 years old, well, I guess it was 7 years old. I know that's a young age to be thinking about marriage, but there was a girl, probably the only girl in the entire town my age. Her name was Letha, all right? She was my sister's best friend. And I remember at 7 years old just thinking, she's the one, you know, I'm going to marry her. And if you don't know, I love love. Like, I love rom-coms. If there's like, you know, if Braveheart came out again and then Serendipity, the movie came out, I'd probably go to the theater to see Serendipity. Like, that's like my kind of movie, all right? I love love. And at 7 years old, I remember thinking, oh, I love her so much, you know, whatever a seven-year-old could love. And I put my hopes in it. And I remember because she was like 3 years older than me and I'm seven. So that's a big gap when you're that young. And I remember her just being like, ew, Tom's gross. And just like being crushed. And that wasn't the only time. And then, you guys want my whole love record? I'll give it to you. This is great. And then I moved. We went to this other city and there was way more girls. And now I'm like 10 years old and there's a girl named Heather Henman, all right? And I'm in love with Heather Henman. I have my old journals. Like, Heather Henman's the one. I'm going to marry her. Then we go to junior high. It's like 2 years. I'm in love with this girl. And there's two junior high schools in the entire county. And she goes to the other one. I remember thinking, oh, it's okay, it will work out. And then I get word on the bus, because that's how news transferred from school to school, she had a boyfriend, crushed. But it didn't matter, because her best friend was Samantha Robinson, and I was gonna marry her. No joke, that's a true story. And Samantha Robinson fell in love with an older guy at church, crushed. So then I liked a Mormon girl named Ashley Shiflett. Terrible last name, but I thought I could change it, you know? I thought, I'll be her hero. And we moved to Georgia. Crushed. Happened all the way until I met my wife. And can I just tell you, I'm so thankful that I didn't marry any of them. They're all great women. If you're watching, God bless your hearts. You know? Y'all got great marriages, I'm sure, and doing great. I don't keep up with you, but I hope you're doing great. No, man, but I mean, we've all been crushed before. In fact, when the world says, man, don't get your hopes up, they're right. Almost on a biblical level, man. It says this in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. This scripture is great because it's a great contrast. But he says, man, hope deferred makes you sick. Now, I've talked about some lighthearted things about love, but I've put my hopes in really big things before. And some of them were silly. I don't know why I'm telling you guys. This is like confession time all of a sudden. One time, true story, I got my hopes up about the lottery. Seriously. Now, I don't endorse the lottery. I don't think you should do the lottery. But one time I'm driving, and the year was 2019, and the amount was $219 million. No, it was 2017, because we're in the old house. Oh, my gosh, 2017, it was $217,000. I'm driving, I saw that, and you guys ever get weirdly superstitious? Anyone ever get weirdly superstitious in this place? You don't lie to me, you guys have done it. You guys went to walk underneath the ladder and thought, well, maybe I should go around. You've done it, all right? I know it. So I got weirdly superstitious, and I just thought, maybe the Lord's trying to say something. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna buy a lotto ticket, that's stupid. Well then, the day of the lottery drawing, all right, I'm in Publix, and I find a scratch off on the floor, and I pick it up. It's been scratched, guess what? It's a free ticket. God is speaking to me, I thought. This is it. All of a sudden, my hopes are confirmed. I'm gonna be a multimillionaire, a 100 millionaire, whatever they call that, right? So I go in, and I'm feeling like, just this is it. There's no way I'm gonna miss. So I go up to the counter and say, hey, I got a scratch off. What do I get? And they said, a free ticket. I said, can I pick the big one? They said, yeah, it's $2, go for it. So I grab the thing, I pick my numbers, and I'm not joking, this really did happen. I closed my eyes. I said, Father, just guide my fingers, you know? I picked my numbers, I turned it in. This is a true story. I got my receipt, I folded it up. I was so confident that I was gonna have $217 million that night that I told the Lord, Lord, I'm not gonna open this thing because I know my hopes are set and secure in you. You are the God of hope. And I just for some reason believe that you did this for me. I don't know why. So I folded up that thing, put it in my pocket. And I told him, I'm not gonna open it until the evening of the next day after I do work, after I pray, after I sit in the word, and then I'll open it and then I'll rejoice. So that next day, I was just, man, my head was high. I was feeling great. I was thinking, how am I gonna tell Susie? And then that night, as you would know, because you see what I'm wearing today, these are old pants that I got for free, stained on them. I didn't win. And I remember sitting there feeling like an idiot, dude. Like an idiot, like, God, what was I thinking? Why did I get so caught up in putting my hope in this thing? And I'm gonna be real, since then, I've never wanted to play the lottery again. I was like, oh, my hope's deferred, I don't wanna do this. And there's been serious incidences, like praying for my mother-in-law who was dying of cancer with my wife, hoping, come on, Lord, heal her. And it didn't happen. Caused a stir inside of me. How does this work? My hope's been deferred. Makes you sick. And I know that everyone in here, you've dealt with a sickness of your hope being dashed to pieces. And you know what happens when that happens? You know what happens when your hope is dashed to pieces? Neuroscience tells us that your brain eats it up. It loves it. It actually puts out more chemicals and builds more space for you to vividly remember your failures, the time your hope was dashed. I don't know if you recognize this, but how many of you guys got a pretty good life? Anyone in here? Anyone got a pretty good life? But how many of you guys could remember immediately that really bad time in your life? Anyone could remember that? It's so clear, isn't it? Man, your brain works that way, that it sets it up. And they say it's a defense mechanism, and I won't be real with you, I believe it. Because when your hope gets dashed, what happens? You go, well, I never want to be put in that position again. I never want to get to the position that I put my hope in something and it gets destroyed. And I want to be real with you, the entire world will give you that wisdom. But today, I want to be a little reckless with you. I'm going to be a little irresponsible with you. Today, I want to tell you, I don't know what you've lost your hope in, but today, I hope you get it back. I hope no matter how bad you got hurt, that you can say, you know what, I got messed up that one time, but I'm going to use my hope again. And I'm going to tell you something. The world says that, don't get your hopes up, because they don't have a comforter called the Holy Spirit. They don't have someone who comes up behind the incident and says, hey, listen, I'm here, right here with you. This morning, we're having a men's breakfast, and Ellis brought up a scripture, and I was like, oh, Ellis, I'm so happy you brought up this scripture. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Psalm 77. I'm going to read just something real quick about someone who said, man, my hopes have been dashed. I am just down and defeated, but I want to tell you how he comes out of his defeat. Check this out, man. How do we have hope when all hope is lost, when we've been hurt? How do we get back in the game? Psalm 77. David says, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. He means by anything else. He said, I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. How many of you guys have ever been in the middle of prayer and you're just like dying? God, please come through. Anyone ever been in that before? Yeah, man, me too. God, please come through. I'll tell you another quick story here in a minute. He said, you hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. Have you guys ever been in so many tears, so heartbroken that you couldn't even say anything to anybody? You know what I'm talking about? Man. He said, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? How many guys in this place have ever feel like God's not with me today? Anyone ever feel that? Man, I feel alone. Come on, that's it? That's just a few of you guys? Man, there's been times where I go, God, where are you? And David's crying out saying, God, did you lose all favor with me? Have you cast off forever? Verse 8, has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Man, David could hit me right in the heart. God, did you just forget what you promised me? God, you promised me joy, and I feel like I'm in misery. God, you promised me peace, but I'm full of anxiety and worry. God, you promised me that I would have favor with my enemies, and my enemies are out to get me, God. Verse 10, and I said, this is my anguish, but, everyone say but. Come on, anyone in here a butt lover? Anyone in here a butt lover? I love it when God says but, all right? I want you to know that. I know that sounded perverted, my bad. How many of you guys love the word? Forget it. Who's a butt lover? Come on, that was messed up. Could not have said that worse. I'm so sorry. That's going on Instagram. I'm getting canceled. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your ways, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. To you have you with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The water saw you, O God. The water saw you, and they were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up in the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters. Your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I want to show you what's happening in this duality in this psalm that Ellis brought to my attention this morning, not knowing what I was preaching on. I was so pumped that you brought this up, Ellis. Thanks for adding to the sermon. Yeah, pat him on the back. Yeah. If you don't like this sermon, though, it's his fault, not my fault. David's in a place of anguish. He's lost hope. But unlike the world, he has something that the world doesn't have. He has a testimony. He has a place where he says, God, I've seen what you've done. He says, man, I'm sitting here. I'm crying in the middle of the night. I'm stretching out my hands. I won't cease. I'm peeling my eyes open because I'm not going to sleep, God. I'm in so much anguish. But I remember, Father, in my anguish, in my distraught, when my hope is dashed up against the ground, I remember something. You are good. And your hand redeems. You know why I'm telling you this psalm? Because I want to counteract something that the world keeps telling you. The world keeps telling you, don't get your hopes up, you're going to get failed. I'm saying, even if you get failed, you have a God who doesn't fail. Even if you get screwed over, you got a God who says, hey, my promises are good. This is how David made it through his crushed heart. He remembered what God has done in his life. I want to give you some advice before I talk to you about how to get your hopes up. I want you to hear me out on this. You are supposed to be someone who's hopeful. Someone who's saying, man, I see better things ahead of me. And if you feel like I've tried that, Pastor Tommy, I've tried to be hopeful, and my heart's been broken, I want to tell you what David did when his heart was broken. He said, I remember what God has already done. I remember that he is good to me. I remember that the earth trembles. I like this other verse that talks about later on in the New Testament, demons know his name, James writes out. Demons know his name and they tremble. Some of us are getting our hopes beat up and we don't know what God's already done. So we end up being just like the world. I don't want to have my hopes up because I'm scared I'll get hurt. Not knowing you have a God who is great and kind and who will comfort you in your hurts. That when your heart's broken, it says in scriptures that he draws near to those who with broken hearts. You're not supposed to be like the world, cautious in your hope. Can I be irresponsible with you? You should be wild in your hope. You should be the most hopeful people that ever existed. Because you serve a God who is not just wonderful and great, but makes promises. And he does not lie in his promise. He does not make the promise up for it to fail. I want to say this to you. You ought to be hopeful. Well, why should I be hopeful? Because there's a danger of being crushed, Tom. Why should I be hopeful? Let me tell you why you should be hopeful. Because with hope comes great faith. And with great faith comes great action. Now, how many of you guys want to be wild Christians in here? Anyone want to be a wild Christian? Hey, I'll be honest with you. This is a church for wild Christians. It is. And if you're here and you're like, I want to be lukewarm, you're going to hate every sermon I preach. I'm not joking, you will. Because I'm going to sit here and be like, oh, do you believe the word? You know, I'm going to sit here like, you got to read it. You got to know it. You pray, you know. I'm going to be pushing you because I want to be a wild Christian. But you can't be a wild Christian if you're afraid of putting your hope in his promises. You cannot be a wild Christian if you're afraid to be hopeful about what God has in store for you. You cannot be a wild Christian if your hope gets dashed at the first sign of warning. Now, I think you missed that one. Because when I look at wild Christians in the Bible, when I look at what David was mentioning, Moses, right? Moses was a wild Christian, dude. I say a wild Christian as in like, this dude really believed God to the point that he was going to die. He was going to get killed. Now, when was the last time you were going to get killed by other Christians? Anyone in here ever had that opportunity? No? Not me neither. Moses was with all of Israel, God's chosen people, and they're going, I hate Moses. Let's kill this guy. Because he was so wild. Because he put his hope in God's promises. He said, you know what? God would never lie. And for 40 years, they never saw that promise come to pass. But he wouldn't move. He wouldn't move. He's going, no, this is where we're going. Abraham, another story. a man who, seriously, this is the weirdest, craziest story. He's 100 years old, and he has a baby with his old wife, Sarah. A baby. Now, how many guys have ever took a biology class before? Anyone in here? Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. The rest of y'all, go back to school. I think that was high school you had to take that. What happened, man? Wild Christians and also the dropouts. So that's cool. Now, check this out, man. Biology says there's no possible way you can have a kid at that age. Actually, both children, if you know this story, both children were born way too late. Now, one was by a younger woman, but one by Sarah was really old. And this is what happened. God says, Abraham, I promise you, through your son Isaac, there's going to be many nations. So many people are going to come through that. You can't even count it. It'll be like the stars of the sky or the sand on the seashore. There's going to be this many children with your name. This is my promise to you. Now, Abraham had one kid. And God said, kill him. Now, how many would ever, anyone in here want to kill your kid? This is a confession time. Good. Okay, good. That was a test. Nobody wants to do that. But Abraham said, you know what? My hope is not in my circumstances. My hope is in my God. It says in Hebrews that he took his son up to an altar on the mountain because he believed that God would not lie. He put his hope in God and said, God, I believe that you will raise him from the dead, it says in Hebrews. So Abraham took his son up. Now, I want to make this clear. He didn't have to kill his kid. God was testing him. And the Lord said, man, you are righteous because of this. That's a wild Christian. Wild Christians only exist because they have great hope. Now, I want to say this about everyone in here who says they want to be a wild Christian. I want you to see something. The thing that's holding you back is a lack of hope that his promises are true. I mean that. The thing that keeps you from being the wild Christian who says, I could die for the gospel, is a lack of hope of his promise. And I know this is true. You know why I know this is true? Because if you just hang on to the one single hope that your life is forever and you are eternal, you don't mind dying. But the biggest fear in our churches right now is death. Because we've been hopeless. Because we're going, God, I know what you say, but I don't have hope that it's real. I have more hope that I want to be successful on this earth. And the Lord wants you to know today, you need to get your hopes up. Because you can't be wild without it. Now, I've already answered, well, what do I do if my hope's been dashed? You have a cure. Lean into the Holy Spirit. Father, I've had my hopes dashed before, but I know I'm sad and beat up, so I need your Holy Spirit. David said, I'm going to remember what you've done. And I've messed up, God. I've had the worst time of my life. I thought things were going a different way, and they didn't. But I'm going to remember what you've done. So now I want to talk to you about how to get your hopes up for tomorrow. That's how you have your hopes up from what you lost. But today, how do you get your hopes up about tomorrow? If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, I love this scripture. 17. I'm going to read 6 verses to you. Now, here's the deal. It's all good and well if you've had your hopes dashed to be able to remember what God's done to find your comfort. It's all good and well to recognize that you're not a part of the world anymore and that your hopes are no longer, when they're dashed, you have no comforter, you have the Holy Spirit. But how can you get your hopes up? I'm going to tell you a quick story. Verse 31, we're going to read it, but let me give some context. There's this giant, his name's Goliath. I love this story. It's a wild story. You know this story. I don't have to read this part. But all of the nation of Israel, just imagine for a second that there was one guy, all right, who was going to fight one of us in this room. Now, forget this room. Let's say the city of Atlanta, all right? One dude's like, I will challenge anyone in Atlanta, right? And he says, if you beat me, we will be your slaves. But if I beat the guy you send out here, everyone in the city of Atlanta will be my slaves. How many guys would go and try to fight him? Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's scary. Could you imagine being the guy losing, being responsible for everyone else becoming slaves? Wouldn't that suck? Like for the rest of your life, like, oh, great, I'm a slave because of stupid Tom. He just went out there. And this is what the scripture says, man. Scripture says the entire nation was afraid of this one man. And they said, I'm not doing it. There's no way. And it says that they hid. And every day this giant came out and he mocked everybody. Says, hey, where's your God at? You guys are Israel? You're the ones that have this great and mighty God who saved you from Egypt? Then come out here and fight me. This is so relevant to today's sermon about not having hope. These guys sat underneath the mighty power of God, but they were hopeless looking at their enemy. You know how many people I know who are Christians who worship and serve the God of all creation, but they are fearful to walk out what God has for them because they don't know who their God is? This is what happens. Young David, my homie, my boy David, and I love David's story. Verse 31, he sees it, right? And he goes, dude, I'm taking this guy on. And so he goes to King Saul, and this is what he says, verse 31. Now when the words which David had spoke were heard, they reported them to the king Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Yeah, you clap on that. How many of you guys know? You guys don't need me preaching. You just need to read the Bible more. How many of you guys know that, man? Everything. I'm just talking about it. If you read this Bible every day, you'll be up here preaching for me. I'd be sick, actually. Maybe you guys should read the Bible more and preach for me. That'd be great. Check this out. He's about to go up against this Philistine. And I want you to hear this out. He wasn't qualified. Now, I know in this room, God has promises for some of you that you're not qualified for. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's at? Where's my moms who want to be moms? Are their moms not yet? Anyone in here want to be a mom? Yeah. And let me just tell you a little secret. You're not qualified. And how many of you guys recognized that as soon as that baby came? Like, oh, shoot, where my dad's at? How nervous did you get when you held that baby for the first time? Like, God, are you sure? I might drop this thing. I did drop that thing a few times. One time, okay, this is not important. This just recently. I have 6 kids. You think I'm a pro. I had Lucy. She's like 4 months old. And I don't know what I was doing. I just had her by the belly. I'm holding her. I stuck her up like this, directly into the fan. Yeah. Is that crazy? I'm not qualified. Someone's calling CPS right now. Like, get this guy out of here. Not qualified. Saul looked at him and said, bro, you can't do this. This is too big for you. This is too great. Some of y'all got things God's calling you to, and everyone around you is going, yeah, you're not qualified. I'm sorry, you can't do this. No, you can't have a perfect marriage. You've already screwed up too much. No, you can't be redeemed. No, you can't walk out this promise. No, you can't be successful. No, you can't go to greater levels. You're not in the Bible. You're not. I love when people say this. They say, oh, you look at David in the Bible and you compare yourself to him. Don't do that. I'm looking at you going, no, compare yourself to him. He was just a man who was used by God. Let that story reflect in you. I want to tell you something. There's people in this room who got people whispering in your ear. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your siblings. I want to tell you something right now. David over here had King Saul saying, listen, you're not qualified. But you know what he did? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I know a lot of people who give up right when someone tells them this is too hard for you. I know people who give them and say, you know what? Here's my advice. And how many of you guys know people love to give you advice? Anyone in here know that? I love giving you advice. I'll give you unsolicited advice. You tell me one of your problems. I promise you I'll have 4 or 5 solutions. I got you. They're not good, but I'll give you solutions. People love to give advice. I want you to hear me on this. Because a lot of you guys had your hopes dashed because a couple people spoke into your ear and told you your situation's unredeemable. That you're not going to make it. That you're not going to marry the girl God called you to if you do this thing. This is how David kept his hope up. The same way that David kept his hopes from being dashed when they were dashed, the same way he found comfort when he was beat up, is the same way he got his hopes up. When Saul said, hey, dude, you're not qualified, he said, let me just tell you a little secret. God delivered me from the lion, and God delivered me from the bear. God could deliver me from this too. God redeemed me from my sin, and God made me new. He could take me through this as well. No. Let me try this again. God took care of me when I was down and out, and God put me on a new level. So if I go through a hard time, he could pick me back up. Whoa, let me try this again. I wasn't able when I was here, and I wasn't able over here, but both times he got me able, so he can make me able for this situation too. Well, let me try something else. I wasn't qualified to be a wife or a husband. I wasn't qualified to be a good son or daughter, so he's got me in my parenthood. Well, let me try something else. I was no good at this job, but he had favor on me. I was no good at this job, but he had favor on me. So in this dream, he could pull me through. So I want to make this clear to everyone in this place. David's solution to Saul wasn't, I'm able. His solution was, I've seen God do it before, and he could do it again. And let me tell you something. His hope was established. Not, oh gosh, I thought that was music playing. That scared me. I was like, the band wants me out of here. God doesn't need you to look at your own strengths to say, okay, I got this. He wants you to look at him and say, put your hope in me. Now, I said this in the beginning, but how many of you guys are so thankful that he's redeemed you? Anyone in here? How many of you guys are so thankful that he forgave you of your sins? Anyone in here? How many of you guys are so thankful that he took you from the bottom of the bottom and he's taking you to the top? Anybody in here? Now, okay, let me ask another question. How many of you guys have prayed for things and now you're walking out those things? Anyone in here? Okay, let me just say something. You need to put your hopes back in the things he's already done in your life. Guys, can I just say something? Can I preach at you for a second? Some of y'all, we've been praying for God to do something great. We've been praying for the desires of our hearts. And when we get them, we're going, I don't have the hope to make it through. And the Lord's going, don't you remember what I did? I'm the one who answered this prayer for you. I'm the one who took you through with the lion and the bear. Let me just clear something up about this lion and the bear. You know why I love that story? That lion and that bear was when no one else was around. You ain't hearing that one. When no one else was around, it was in David's secret personal life when he saw the Lord. Some of us don't have hope because we don't have a secret life with God. Man, we got a church life. We love church. We love going to church. And that's the measurement of our Christianity. And God's going, what about the lion and the bear in your house? What about the lion and the bear in the middle of the night? What about that lion and bear that's in your thoughts while you're driving to work? What about that lion and bear who's at work and it's called your boss? Are you able to overcome it with me? Church, it's time to get your hopes up. I want to say this. I don't got all day. I only got 2 minutes left before I'm going to end this thing. I answered first the first part because I think it's super important because I know as soon as I start talking about, hey, you need to put your hope in the Lord. He won't fail you. The first part I hit on was that you've had your hopes dashed before. I know this in the room. I brought up my mother-in-law, guys. I prayed with my wife. My wife prayed earnestly, okay? This is my mother-in-law. This was her mom. Prayed earnestly. And you know what was crazy? So when she passed away, what happened? It made me search a lot inside of me. And I think my wife as well, we had to search a lot inside of us. Hey, where do we put our hope? And when we got crushed, right? I'll never forget it. She was on her deathbed. And I wasn't in the room. I had Jacob in my arms, but we had a baby monitor in there. And I could hear my family, my wife, my father-in-law, my sister-in-law, weirdly rejoicing. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. They're going, okay, oh my gosh. Okay, this is it. So I'm in the kitchen, I have Jacob, so I walk in there and I hear her final breath. And you know what happened in that moment? This is so crazy. my wife, crying, says, I can't believe it. She's with the Father. I can't believe it. She's with the Father. She was rejoicing. It was wild. Because this whole time, I was putting my hope in healing. But she was putting her hope in the Father. Right? So I'm over here going, well, if she doesn't get healed, there's a failure. But my wife's going, if she's not with the Father, there's a failure. So if she gets healed, well, glory to the Lord. But if she dies, oh, my hope's in him. Can I tell you what happened that day? It was the weirdest day. Because if I was to write out how I expected it to go, I would say that we were all devastated and everyone said, why, God, why weren't you there for us? But instead, there was rejoicing in a house as a loved one passed by. You know why? Because my wife knew who the Lord said he was. So even when it looked like her hopes were going to be dashed, she could hang on and say, no, my hopes aren't dashed. In fact, it's even better. My hope's in Jesus. And that's where she's at, is with him today. And what was supposed to be a day of mourning and a brokenness and a deferred hope became a day of rejoicing and glorifying of the Lord. Now, I brought that up, that story, because I want to answer that first part. What do you do when your hope's deferred? You remember who God is. And when you remember who God is, your hope is restored. Psalm 77, I can't take it no more, but I remember who you are. The second part is, what do you do when you got something up ahead of you? How do you get your hopes up? You do what David did. You remember what he's already done. If God saved me from my sin and he forgave me, and believe me, I was not forgivable. Believe me, I've done things that I wish I never did. And I know I'm not alone in this room. He's forgiven me of that. Then he could redeem me through this. If he's forgiven me for that, then he could pull me through this. If he's the one who changed me, then he could change them. If he could redeem me from my sin, then gosh darn it, he could save my brother from his sin. I got hope because I remember what God's done in my life. I need to challenge you, church. Do you remember what he's done? I promise you, you don't have anxiety by remembering what he's done. You only have anxiety because you remember what can happen. Can I say that again? Because I'm ending. This is my end. But this is kind of a side note. I heard someone else say this. I want to say it to you too. A guy at a church got on the microphone and said, man, I need to correct and rebuke a false prophet in this church. Bro, when I heard this, I was thinking, this is going to be juicy, dude. I was like, this is going to be big. He said, this false prophet's been speaking to people in our church, causing them to fall away from the Lord. And he said, so today I'm going to call him out in front of everybody. He said, I rebuke the false prophet of anxiety, promising you things that are going to happen that will not happen. It's prophesying in your mind that things are going to fall apart when they will not fall apart. Ooh, that shook me up a little bit, right? I want to say this right now. You know where anxiety cannot live? In the remembrance of God's goodness. Did you know that? Yeah. Some of y'all need to write that down. Anxiety cannot live in the remembrance of God's goodness. Man, Philippians 4 says, you know what you should do when you have anxiety? Pray and give him supplications with thanksgiving. You can't thank someone without remembering what he's done for you. Church, it's time to get your hopes up. It's time to start walking wild. It's time to start saying, I want to be used by God in the most miraculous way. It's time to be people who say, you know what? I've seen a lot of defeats. I've been pushed down a lot, but I know my God will not lie to me and his promise will endure. And he needs to be a people who says, I believe in eternal life and I will stand in that no matter what happens. We need to be a people who says, you are my strength if I wait on you. We need to be a people who say, I might feel like failure's around the corner, but I have my God, so my hopes won't be deferred. We need to be able to be people like my lovely wife on that day. When it looked like failure into the room, she said, but let me tell you about what my God has promised me. We need to be people like Abraham, who said, my hope is in God and his promises, and not in my circumstances. We need to be like David, who's crying out to the Lord in the most anguishing time of his life, saying, God, I remember your goodness. I remember how good you are. And and my hope is steadfast in you. You know what I love about Abraham? He was willing to see God's promise fail, but he still had his hope that God's promise would be redeemed. He was willing to see his own son, the promise of God, fall to death. But it says in scriptures, but he knew God couldn't lie. His hope wasn't moved. Some of us, this is why I get irresponsible about hope. Some of us had things fall apart that God promised. I'm here to tell you, put your hopes back up. Tom, I let that rest years ago. That's okay. God can redeem things from years ago. Get your hopes up, church. 1 Corinthians 13. In the middle of talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we just talked about this on Wednesday, Paul stops his writing. He says, man, I want you to be walking in the gifts. I want you edifying one another. And everyone has a different gift and you should use them. This is like your function. He says, but I want to show you a greater way. And he goes into 1 Corinthians 13. This is what love is. He says, there's nothing greater than this. This is what you're supposed to do. Forget, you know, if you speak in tongues of angels and you prophesy and you fly around, he doesn't say that, but I'm just kind of paraphrasing stuff. He said, but you don't have love, it's all nothing. You gotta have love. And at the very end, he says this, he says, and this is what we're left with. Faith, hope, and love. Now, as a church, and I'm not talking about just this building, I'm talking about as a church as a whole, we've been really good at focusing in on love. We're really good at saying, let's love one another, you know? Let's just be kind and generous to one another. We've been great at that. I want to commend this church especially. I've never been to a church with a more diverse group of people. This is a loving church. And we're good on faith. I think we could go better, but at least the desire is there that we're going, man, I want to go deeper in my faith with the walk of the Lord. I want to believe him more. And we preach that and we go on that. But very rarely do I sit up here and say, get your hope up. And it's the three things that we're left with. Get your hopes up. Start looking to the Lord and going, I know that you won't lie. And I know that those who wait on you, you will give strength. And I know, Father, that if I call upon your name, that you will hear me. And that for those who are bound in sin, if I confess my sins to you and ask for forgiveness, you will forgive me. And that, God, you will use someone like me. I believe and I have hope. Church, today, get out there with your hopes up. Get your hope up. Forget what the world says. Don't do it. You're going to get hurt. No, 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 no. Go take the risk. He will heal you and he will comfort you. Don't worry about it. Get your hopes up. Church, I got to say it again. Get your hopes up. Come on, get excited about what he's got for you. Say, no, I'm gonna stand on this actually. No, I do have eternal life. No, his promises are good. No, he will take me through. I do have enough strength to walk out my job and my parenting. I do have enough strength because my strength is in the Lord. And that's where I put my hope. Last thing I gotta say about this before we pray. Romans. Paul writes, we serve the God of hope. We serve the God of hope. Maybe you're in this building today. You know, Tom, I'll be honest with you. I feel kind of hopeless. My life resume is just failure after failure after failure. I tried and I put my hope into it. I dreamed real big. And it's been dashed. I prayed for these things and I got here and now I'm going, I can't do it anymore. Don't forget that if your hope is drained and your hope's been deferred and your heart is sick, you can find a cure by going to the one who is the God of all hope. And he can restore it for you. He can build you back up. All you gotta do is go to him. So church, I'm gonna pray. Then I'm gonna offer whoever needs to get saved to give their life to the Lord today, and we're gonna do that. It's gonna be great. And then we got a baptism, and then all the cool kids, also known as group leaders, we're gonna meet in a room, we're gonna talk real quick. And then we're gonna get out of here. We're gonna go back to life. But my hope today is in this prayer, those things that you thought were lost, Those things that you said, man, I was dashed. My hope was crushed. That today God restores you. That you find yourself like David in Psalm 77, remembering his goodness. As you walk out tomorrow and you're going through every challenge in life, you say, I remember what God's done. I'm going to put my hope on that. And you walk out of this place, a church full of hope. That's why we stand to our feet. Father, I want to say thank you for all the wonderful things you've done. God, when I was in the midst of sin, it says in scriptures that you died for me still. It says, Father, in scriptures, while I was in the midst of sin, that you sought me out. It says your spirit is the one who drew me in. Oh, who is like you, mighty God? God, it says in scriptures that if I delight in you, if I delight in you, you will fulfill my heart's desires. God, the only reason I'm bringing these scriptures up, God, and reminding ourselves of these things, God, is that I want us to put our hope in you today. I want us to see that, God, you took wretched people who are dirty and filthy, and you made them clean and holy and sent them as your representation to the whole world. And you also made promises to us. And Father, I pray over all of us today that, God, today we would remember how good you are. That we remember what you've done in our lives. That, Father, we would be like David with King Saul and say, God, you took me through this, you took me through that, and I know you could take me to here. That we'd be like David and say, God, in my anguish, I remember how good you really are. That, God, we'd be a people full of hope. If you're in this house today and you're saying, Tommy, will you pray over me? That I'll get my hopes up because my heart's been sick. My hope's been deferred. And today you want prayer. I'm not going to have you come up to the front. I'm going to just have you lift your hand up. We're going to just pray a prayer over everyone. But if you're in this place, you're going, I need help with my hopes getting up. And you're in this house, I want you to lift your hands up real high. Go ahead. We want to pray over you. Come on. Come on. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. This isn't a salvation prayer. You're okay if you're thinking, I'm already saved. Father, I pray over every hand in this place that's raised up right now. That Jesus, you would bring remembrance of what you've done in their life. God, that you would remind them of your goodness. God, you would remind them of what you've already accomplished in them. That, Father, what you've already done is impossible. So what you're going to do, you could do the impossible. That, God, you've already redeemed sinners and people who are lost and people who hated you, and you've brought them back. Give them a sober mind and a calling, God, that what you do next, God, is no problem for you. God, I pray remembrance, God, over the miracles that you've done in their life. God, I pray remembrance over them, Father, over their answered prayers. But, Father, over something else, I didn't mention this sermon, but David remembered what you did for Moses. So, God, I pray that you bring remembrance of what you did in the Bible. What you've done in our families' lives, the testimonies of others around us, God. I pray, Jesus, that those remembrances would start coming in and our hope would be built up today, and that we get our hopes up today, Father, that we could walk out your great way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to share it with your friends and family that they might also be encouraged. We are so excited that you chose to grow in God's Word with us today, and we hope that you'll make plans to join us again. We believe that you are not made to walk this life alone, so if you can, come see us at the Atlanta Dream Center Church, Sundays 10 a.m. and Wednesdays 7 p.m. If you'd like to support this ministry, find out more about who we are, or listen to previous sermons, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com for more information. Thank you for listening. Now let's go do the great things God has called us to do.